Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Today's Talking Simpsons is brought to you by Lola Feminine Care. Listeners can visit trymylola.com/lasertime for 50% off your first two-box order. That's 18 all-natural 100% cotton tampons delivered to your door just by heading to trymylola.com/lasertime.
Ahoy hoy, everybody. Welcome to Talking Simpsons, where we have throbbing biological urges. I'm Bob Mackey, a concerned prude with a lot of time on his hands. Who else is here with me? I wrote all these down, by the way.
Chris Antista. I don't have a funny name. Jesus.
Henry Gilbert. Oh. Living off Uncle Sucker.
That's right. What I was supposed to be. I wrote it down
In case you're just downloading this randomly, this is the Laser Time Podcast Network's chronological exploration of The Simpsons. Today's episode is Bart's Friend Falls in Love, which aired on May 7th, 1992. My 10th birthday, everybody.
Whoa.
Happy birthday, me. And Chris is going to tell us what happened on this mythical day in history, aside from my 10th birthday, which is pretty great.
Gonna have to modify this. Bob Mackey is 10, as well as Ross Perot obtains double the amount of signatures needed to get on the presidential ballot. David Bowie marries Iman, and Donald Trump reveals some bold aspirations. He claims he would like to host a CBS variety show in the Ed Sullivan Sunday slot.
Wow, what a dreamer. He'll never reach that level of popularity.
God, it's so funny that, like, he aspired, Ross Perot is the crazy one then, and then he's 24 years earlier, he's got the...
Trump aspired to be Tom Snyder? Am I hearing this right? Or like Greg Kinnear?
It's a much better job for him, though.
Yeah, I agree.
Somebody give him an offer now!
He'd be an entertaining idiot there, but it's funny that Ross Perot is like the only time in our lifetimes a third party candidate has been at those debates.
It was also the only time 11-year-old children that everyone had a fucking presidential candidate impression.
Exactly.
Yes.
Everybody
Amanda
was doing
Bynes,
I believe. Dana Carvey's Ross Perot.
Can't finish.
When you were quiet there for 20 minutes, that was pure class.
Dana Carvey had to do double duty playing George Bush and Ross Perot in the same live sketch where I guess part of it was probably video, part of it was him playing
one character.
No,
it's so sad. David Spade in the long shots. He's dressed up like Dana Carvey as Ross Perot.
Okay. Yeah, that's why Perot says, who's going to do live from New York? Well, I'll throw it to the guy who's not on tape delay. Why do you say it? The Perot was a magical, crazy person, crazy rich person.
Like a Ron Paul type figure.
But he came, rational in the face of every third party candidate we've met since.
But he also came from a time where he was like, hey, I'm rich, you want to be the Republican candidate. But that year they're like, no, we're going with the guy in office. You can't run against the incumbent president for the party nomination.
Oh, can I?
And so then he just leached away votes from Bush and gave his President Clinton. Throw your vote away. Yeah, but he's still around. Well, meanwhile, now Gary Johnson can't get on any stage.
Aw, poor Gary.
Poor Gary Johnson.
So this episode opens with the Raiders of the Lost Ark parody using the official music and everything, too.
Yes, and it was one of the first real long movie parodies that I actually got, having not seen a lot of Hitchcock or Citizen Kane.
Yeah.
At this point,
I like that Homer plays the boulder and the tribesmen.
I can't get a clip of it, but the tribesmen, I still think it's one of the funniest drawings of Homer, him holding the rake.
Look at that!
But he had been speaking English to that point, so it wasn't like he was just so angry he was speaking gibberish.
I love the image of Homer in his underwear ranting in the driveway as a bus full of children drives away.
The garage gag is great. The boulder gag
his
is great.
Gut crashing through the garage
it's
door.
So funny.
Is
and this is Jim Reardon, who I like
Jim
as a director. Yeah.
Yeah, beautiful job that Reardon did in the opening. It is a very critic opening, though, mm-hmm. in that they're just like, we got to kill time. Okay, a minute long recreation of a film.
But you know, you can see the level of detail and difficulty in producing this scene in a hand-drawn era.
Was it? And that they got John Williams' Raiders March. Yeah. It is the real music.
They got permission. What episode was it that opened with the Roadrunner parody? Is that the Dog of Death, I think?
No, that's Rancho Relaxo.
Okay, it has nothing to do with anything that follows. I was just wondering. Nope. Like, it's very similar to this and that. Like,
sorry,
oh,
that
like...
was the first one I got.
Okay.
When I thought of like things I think I loved The Simpsons even more than I thought I already loved them because of these gags that I wasn't getting it as an 11-year-old.
So they joke about this on the commentary that Matt Groening, around when this aired, Matt Groening was at a fancy Hollywood party, and Steven Spielberg was there, and he thanked him. He was like, hey, thanks for letting us use the Raiders music in our thing. And he's like, oh, well, thank you, Steven Spielberg replies, thank you for not letting us use the Simpsons music on Tiny Toons.
When I heard that on the commentary, I remember what bit that was from Tiny Toons. Babs like transforms into all the Simpsons like one at a time and like does lines as all of them.
And
I forget what episode that was.
And Matt Groening's defense was like, well, that was Fox saying no, it wasn't me.
Yeah.
He doesn't have the power. Groening, for all his riches, doesn't have the power that Spielberg has of allowing the Raiders.
If you want, I've had to write about Spielberg's power too much. If you care to learn more about Spielberg's power and Roger Rabbit, have I got an article on you for LaserTimePodcast.com. Thank you, baby.
We'll miss Spielberg when he's gone.
It's crazy.
We won't realize. We're just used to like, yeah, Spielberg. He does everything. He still makes good movies. He's a force of good to make good things happen.
I can't wait until he has another. He seems to need to make a movie every year. Which is unnecessary, but
I agree.
Occasionally he's just like, yeah, I want to make Munich. Whoa, Jesus, really?
I love Munich so much.
I want to make Empire of the Sun. What the fuck? This is so good.
And that was seen as like a flop for him in Empire of the Sun. This is also a very Lucky Red Hat episode. I think this is the most we've seen of Bart's Lucky Red Hat ever. That would only really come back when my boy is a box.
Yes, exactly.
Like, just for that wonderful joke.
So we are now introduced to the oversized novelty billiard ball, which is like the non-union Mexican equivalent of the eight ball.
I didn't get that.
I didn't either.
To not say it's same of like throwing disc when they jokingly
did
say
not
throwing
get,
disc
I did
instead
not get
of frisbee.
That.
I got it this time only.
Wow. Like, this is them consulting the eight ball. And then compared to the last episode, this episode is all about one thing from like almost the very start.
Hey, I got a good one. Will Milhouse and I be friends till we're toothless old men with hair coming out of our ears? Don't count on it. Will Milhouse and I be friends when we're high school dropouts living off Uncle Sucker?
Uncle Sucker.
It looks doubtful. Will Milhouse and I be friends at the end of the day? What could come between two bestest buddies like us?
Again,
girl.
Did you hear the title of the episode, people?
Yes, exactly. And in listening to the audio without the visuals, you can hear the swishing of the eight ball. It's very good. I'm sure it's just a real eight ball they're shaking up against the microphone.
There's a scene later. I'll point out the unnecessary level of Foley work that you will hear now as I've isolated the clip.
I believe it's Travis Powers who does the Foley for The Simpsons.
Awesome.
Like, they call him out a lot.
I think this title is a lazy title of an episode that they're just like Bart's friend falls in love. Like, no wordplay, no pun.
Again, that's the only thing consistent about all 27 seasons of The Simpsons. The titles are all lazy.
They try a little too hard at some point.
No, they're so bad. Like,
but it's weird. It's like it's Bart's friend falls in love, not Milhouse falls in love, or Milhouse's affair.
It's
I don't
probably
know.
A parody of something that
it
we've
could
never
be.
Heard of.
Like, I Married Marge was I Married Whatever.
Yeah, so when we're introduced to Samantha Stanky.
There we are.
More Vietnam.
Samantha, I've always been suspicious of transfer students. Other principals try to unload problem cases that way. Lord knows I do.
I'm a good student, Principal Skinner.
Yeah, sure. And they told me I'd get a big parade when I got back from Nam. Instead, they spat on me. I can still feel it searing.
As a kid, I didn't realize, like, oh, it was not good to be in Vietnam. Like, Yeah.
I feel like they would get more creative with Skinner's Vietnam. Like, here it's just played straight, but later it'd be like, I couldn't get the spices right. And well, like him yelling at his platoon for reading Mad Magazine, things like that. But here it's just like very serious. Like the idea of a cartoon character having been through Vietnam is the joke.
But they are doing it's like the escalation of Homer's stupidity.
Yeah.
Not only has he like, you know, they've like, I was in Nam, I drove an all-terrain vehicle in Da Nang, and this one he's like, I was in a tiger cage for 18 months. Like, yeah. Whoa, you're not just a Nam vet, you're a POW.
He's like a McCain figure almost.
And then it really gets to its apex where he finds his old helmet and like still fits.
Yeah. I love how it goes right from that to Skinner introducing Samantha in the class, and going from like this pitiable Vietnam vet to just this oblivious dickhead.
Attention, class, I have a new student for you.
Great, another student. Just keep packing him in, Seymour.
We should discuss this later, Edna. Ooh. No, it's never easy to come to a new school, so let's make her feel right at home. Please say a big elementary school hello to Samantha Stinky.
Stinky.
Oh, right. How embarrassing for you. Well, goodbye.
I love that. It's so on the nose. And Samantha Stinky is played by Kimmy Robertson, just a character actor.
Yeah, I thought it was just a Tress MacNeille or somebody from the regular voice cast for a long time.
She was on Twin Peaks. She's on a lot of like just random bit parts and
I
stuff like that.
I believe Henry said she was on Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
She's in Honey, I Shrunk the Kids as a character, Gloria.
Okay.
And she's also in Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead. So.
I believe Kogan or Wolodarski says they were going to stunt cast her. Like we saw like Winona Ryder and Meryl Streep playing kids, but I believe they just ran out of time. This is a late season episode, and running out of time is a big thing with these late season episodes.
I mean, she does a good job.
Oh, yeah, she's great.
And funnily enough, like Winona Ryder would later
play
a
love interest.
She would be a Bart love interest, as would Meryl Streep and Sarah Silverman.
Mm-hmm. Sarah Gilbert, right?
And Sarah Silverman too.
Ooh,
in later seasons, you don't want to watch. But yeah. Okay. I like all the It's again great observational stuff about what it is to be a new kid.
Yeah,
school.
I've been there. Yeah,
like, I've been
Samantha's
there
little monologue in general is fucking beautiful.
Why don't you stand up in front of the class and tell us about yourself? I'll be grading you on grammar and poise.
We just moved here from Phoenix. My dad owns a home security company. He came to Springfield because of its high crime rate and lackluster police force. All my friends are back in Phoenix, and this town has a weird smell that you're all probably used to. But I'm not.
It'll take you about 6 weeks, dear.
Oh. Yeah, this was the year I was the new kid in my school. Like, I went to a new school in 1991, and I was, like, the new kid in this Catholic school. I didn't know anything about Catholicism. I would still not learn about it. But I was expected to know all these prayers. We talked about this in an earlier episode. But I identify with Samantha. Like, all this stuff is weird. This town smells funny, and I don't know anybody, and it's kind of scary.
Well, actually,
I'd been through that once. My family moved in 1990.
We only moved across town. But it felt the same, like, just all new people.
So we moved in 1990, so I experienced it then, and then the week the episode Lisa Beauty Queen aired is when I moved the next time and final time to Florida, and I always, like, we'll talk about it in that episode, I guess, but I always connect that episode with, this was the first night in our new place, like, we're like, well, we've got the TV, we've got the VCR hooked up, like, let's get all this set up first, we can't miss The Simpsons, and we, like, didn't have everything moved in yet, but we had that set up to watch The Simpsons, tape it, and eat Pizza Hut.
I can't move furniture or assemble anything unless the TV's hooked up first.
I mean, I said this was my birthday. I had my first and only official child birthday party. Ooh. At this year, and I think made it home in time for The Simpsons.
Your first birthday party?
Like, my first, like, let's have a birthday party for you at a place. Like,
really?
at an establishment. Not like, oh, you're home, here's a gift, have fun, well, here's a cake.
Segue into Bob's sad life as religious kid. Were you asked to leave the room during sex education videos?
No, I was the non-religious one in a religious school.
Class, in order to explain why your hormones will soon make you an easy target for every smooth-talking Lothario with his own car and tight jeans, I will now show a short sex education film. Ezekiel and Ishmael, in accordance with your parents' wishes, you may step out into the hall and pray for our souls.
He's pale little Mormons.
Before or after Nelson goes, where's Mr. Cabal?
Yeah, that's after.
After okay, that's yeah, afterwards.
But the 10 years old is a little young for a sex ed class.
Really? I had it when I was 10. It was fifth grade. I mean, you were in Florida.
Okay.
I was told by the evil Baptists.
Is this where you admit you were in a fancy-smancy private school?
No, I wasn't in a private school.
No, I was...
But we were lax Catholics.
This was public school, and I guess, yeah, they really didn't. So, you know, Florida is in a very conservative area of Florida, and so it was abstinence only. That was the thing. It was this to not, the don't do it thing at the end of this. That was just where it started, of just like, it wasn't about how to safely do it or what it meant. It was just about like, only
they scared us with STDs.
It was a scared straight thing of like, you'll get this, you could get this STD and like your dick will fall off, man.
And I thank you for segueing into the, I have so many clips of Troy. I have gone, it's
we
my quest
just listen to this entire
to constantly
scene.
Get every Troy McClure line ever, or every
Throbbing
Phil Hartman.
Biological urges.
But when I talked about the Foley work earlier, he starts out in a doctor's office. And you can hear him get up off a paper table and his feet hit a doctor's floor.
Great, awesome.
Hello, I'm actor Troy McClure. You kids might remember me from such educational films as Lead Paint, Delicious but Deadly, and Here Comes the Metric System. I'm here to provide the facts about sex in a frank and straightforward manner. And now here's Fuzzy Bunny's Guide to You-Know-What.
Copyright 1971.
Okay, that's a funny and a subtle joke that I never... I'm Frank, Frank Manor, and it's a metaphor wrapped in an analogy.
It gets pretty explicit according to the scenes that we don't see.
It does.
It's like Matt Groening meets Fritz the Cat, I think, his animation.
I was kind of like, this would have been an opportune time to put in like the Binky Life in Hell kind of characters, because they basically look exactly the same with their
ears
just bent.
They're purple, yeah.
This is Fuzzy Bunny. About a year ago, he noticed his voice was changing. He had terrible acne and had fur where there was no fur before. He also noticed Fluffy Bunny.
Boring.
This only thing this matches up with is my puberty. Mm. I am going through puberty a little early around this age.
Were you shaving it, Chris?
Yeah, like I had a mustache in seventh grade.
Wow, I still can't do that.
My mom made me bleach it because I refused to shave it.
Jeez.
There's a picture of me still in our hallway where I look so awkward.
So I love Fluffy and Fuzzy at the gun range. That's one of my favorite shots. And then they're both Jewish, apparently?
Yeah. Does it reveal that they're Jewish?
Yeah. Mazel
tov. Fluffy and Fuzzy went to the park. The ice cream social, the boat show, and various other wholesome activities. And they never ruined their fun by giving in to their throbbing biological urges. Then came the big day. Fluffy and Fuzzy got married. That night came the honeymoon.
She's faking it.
Again, never, ever got that at the
time. Dirtiest joke so far, I think. What do you think?
So
a joke about faking an orgasm.
And that they're showing that to children. Like,
a clever joke that, again, I didn't pick up on at the time, that this is so 70s. They're in 1992 watching an informational tape from the 70s because Springfield sucks and so does its elementary school budget.
Yeah, and the porn music actually works because it's from that era.
Yes, everybody's in giant bell bottoms and there's whatever that fucking flower logo.
I love Troy McClure's outfit too.
Yes,
and his hair.
So good.
Like he's not quite as aged as he is in the 90s.
Massive lapels.
It's Troy at his most popular, at the height of his popularity, and he's like, "Oh, this will never stop."
Here Comes the Metric System might be one of my favorite unseen Troy McClure titles. But this is it for Troy McClure. Aww.
The most satisfying part of the night was knowing that they waited. 9 months later, Fluffy gave birth to 14 beautiful bunnies. 8 survive. And now that you know how it's done, don't do it.
I miss Phil Hartman so much. He adds, I mean, the lines are funny, but his inflections add like 9 times the comedy to every joke.
But he's an expositional miracle.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know if there's an equivalent of short films. I guess there's still the fucking news, but he was such a great way to introduce an entire world of story to The Simpsons as an amazing character. Miss him so fucking much.
Now, this is what I thought sex ed would be. Like, and, but a couple of years later, the closest thing I got to, like I said, it was just abstinence only, which, you know, statistically speaking, doesn't work. Kids are going to want to fuck.
Yes.
And you're better off telling them how to do it in a way to not have children than not telling them anything.
My favorite example, and I wish I would have kept this book, because we had sex ed class that, of course, was taught to by the most qualified person, the gym teacher. There weren't assigned books, but there was one book in the classroom where, like, the whole book is, like, long, long chunks of text, very descriptive and clinical and unsexual, and stock images of kids playing sports. So, course, there's one book where every time there's a ball, a kid drew another ball next to it, and then another object coming off of that. So it's all these kids with smiling faces, like, waiting to cradle a giant dick.
It's very educational.
And, like, oh, man, I hope I get that book this time. Everybody was so happy if they could get that book.
I want the dick variant of my educational book.
Yes. And also, the closest thing I had to the leave the room and pray for our souls kid was that I think it was fourth or fifth grade in Florida, they were having like an HIV one about the dangers of AIDS. Mm. It was a video for that, and you had to bring home a thing for your parents to sign. And I wondered why it was. My mom said it was because they didn't. In the video, they make it clear that non-gay people can get it, and that it is not like a punishment. And one, that they're even talking about homosexuality in it. And two, that they don't make it clear, like, oh, this is not punishment from God for being gay. Like, straight people can get this.
Yeah, like Magic Johnson.
Exactly.
This is a stupid tangent, but it was national news, and I love going back to Florida and talking about it with people. There was a teacher at the high school who decided to create a program in his classroom. If everybody gets a B on this history test, I'll let you watch whatever movie you want. And in a time before Reddit and the internet, everybody voted for I Spit on Your Grave. And the teacher didn't screen or look into what that movie was.
I can't handle that movie.
And if you don't know what it is a, what would you call it? Four acts of just pure unadulterated
like a
rape.
A series of graphic rape scenes followed by graphic murders.
There's so many B-movies of the 70s made like that that are, they're rape revenge stories. Mm-hmm. Like, a horrible, violating sexual assault happens at the start of the film.
Like, Last House on the Left is identical almost. Yeah.
And so, as justification Thriller. For horrible violence to be done to the rapist.
But this I've seen the movie now, and it's more terrible than that, because there are four men, one guy does something, she crawls away, and then they find her again, and another guy in the group takes his turn. And then these are just scenes that occur over and over.
It's endless.
And so, like, the story about it is, like, it became national news because, like, I think he left the room or something like that. And just slowly people started running out of the room screaming.
Oh, my God.
Because they're, like, freshmen.
Yeah.
And I have no idea how they got that through the vote.
In the 90s, that would be considered a snuff film almost.
Yeah.
Like, oh, what the fuck.
And the film
is
so notorious, they fucking remade it by a major Hollywood studio. Holy shit.
Yeah.
And I think I don't think they remade it the same way, but like that's how notorious the title is.
But there's still lots of rapes.
Sorry, that's out of nowhere.
You know,
this is my line of the show. How about that?
That's the joke.
You will never fall in love and marry out of fear of dying alone.
How would I go about creating a half-man, half-monkey type creature?
I'm sorry, that would be playing God.
God, schmod, I want my monkey man.
I think we all feel the same way Bart does.
Yes.
Well, now that as a 34-year-old single man, that I'm not laughing as hard at the...
You'll all die alone?
You'll either, out of fear of dying alone.
Well, I did have the... have it now. Yeah, everybody getting a girlfriend or getting interested in women before, like... Do we really want to go down that road just yet? Like, Hot Wheels are awesome.
Can't we just do this?
Yeah, like, I'm getting weird erections too, but, like, let's just play Nintendo and ignore all this.
Yeah, but meanwhile, like, Milhouse and Samantha have already fallen in love.
This is every courtship I've ever had.
That's a nice dress.
My dad makes me wear it. I hate it.
Well, I hate it, too.
Spineless.
Can I walk you home?
Okay.
I'm having to walk back every single line. That is a dumb joke.
I don't know if it's been introduced yet, but we're neglecting the B plot, which is kind of weird. Yeah. It's like
it's a little bit later. It's not just yet.
I have it here because go ahead, Hank.
Well, I liked so when Bart gets the little auto joke that's in there, I did like him saying no No can do, barman. He said that his girlfriend is dancing topless at the airport bar from 4:15 to 4:20.
4:20.
Is that intentionally a 4:20 joke?
I believe 100%. Like, when Apu like priced something a different way, he said 4:20, and I believe that was even a weed reference.
Okay,
too.
Yeah.
But the B plot is Homer losing weight, and like this is one of my favorite jokes I never picked up on until like 2 years ago.
Sugar. And dip it in rich, creamery butter.
Dad, what if I told you you could lose weight without dieting or lifting a finger?
I'd say you're a lying scumbag. Why, sweetie?
According to Eternity Magazine, you can lose weight through subliminal learning. That's where an idea is subtly implanted in your head without you even knowing it.
Oh, Lisa, that's a load of rich, creamery butter.
They'll send you tapes you listen to while you sleep. As you hear New Age music, a powerful message goes to your brain telling you to eat less.
Lose weight and listen to New Age music? Wow. What do you think, Mart?
Oh, Homer, I love you just the way you are. Lisa, what's that number?
Here's the thing. The parody food in this episode is now the Carl's Jr. menu.
Totally.
There is no, not even a joke. I mean, even selling it through, like, sex.
The good morning burger is Carl's Jr.
Yeah, yeah, they have an AM burger.
It exists, and it's probably even worse in real life now.
They're all worse. I mean, I also love the Kent Brockman stuff about American obesity was great.
The canyon is very big.
It's like it's 2/5 of the way up. That might not sound like a lot, but you know the Grand Canyon is very big.
You're right. That is an excellent joke.
There's a lot
and Santa dying in the rain.
That's great. Yeah, the dramatization. There's a lot of business in this of Lisa reading a magazine that I don't think doesn't
Eternity
land very
magazine,
well.
Magazine, yeah.
Was that a parody of something real?
Yeah, I have no idea what that is.
I mean,
there's a reference to that song 2525 on the cover that we see a lot.
Yeah,
but it's
a joke that keeps appearing.
Yeah.
Because I remember all the magazines from back then. I don't know what that could possibly mean.
I mean, I guess it's like there were futurist magazines there were so many.
But why would they talk about dieting?
Talk
about subliminal advertising.
Look, it's even hard for me to remember. We're like, there were magazines for everything because there were tons of magazines, even in the early
90s. On the tip of my tongue what this is a direct parody of, but I can't think of it. So a commenter will yell at us
now.
Yes,
please.
Yeah.
The Simpsons will be right back.
Hello, Talking Simpsons listeners. I hope we're all sympathizing with Samantha Stanky, who clearly gets the terrible end of the stick in today's episode. On that terrible segue, I wanted to remind you guys that this show, Talking Simpsons, is brought to you by Lola, an exciting new place for a modern approach to feminine care. That's right. You Samantha Stankies out there, that is a terrible way to bring this up. But in case you didn't know, Lola has a very special offer for you. They're natural, thoughtfully crafted tampons delivered to your door. So, or more specifically to me, the man in your life doesn't have to pick them up for you. You can visit trymylola.com. That's trymylola.com/lasertime. And you can get 50% off your first order of 2 boxes. That's $18 worth of stuff for just $9, baby. Why use Lola instead of hoofing it to that Walgreens down the street? Well, Lola's tampons are 100% natural. No dyes, no additives, nothing you wouldn't want sitting inside your bod for an extended period of time. What's even better for the Lola subscription model is that you determine the frequency of your deliveries, how many boxes you want, what types of tampons are in those boxes, and you get the first order for half off just by going to trymylola.com/lasertime. And guys, if there's a special Samantha Stanky in your life, you probably had to head for a surprise tampon purchase, but with Lola, neither of you have to worry about how many tampons are left in that little box anymore, because there's an order on the way. So again, Talking Simpsons listeners can go to trymylola.com/lasertime and get 50% off your first order.
You like Laser Time shows? Then you might like Bonus Time, Laser Time's weekly bonus show exclusively on patreon.com/lasertime. Here's a taste of what you've been missing.
Before you came on, you asked for me to bring a GameCube controller, which...
I got a Wii system for you.
Uh-huh.
What?
I think I accidentally dropped it, so it got cracked a bit.
Don't worry, it's still worthless.
It's okay. Maybe you guys can hang
did
on.
Something, did something Wii? Get in the cracks of the Wii?
Something might have filled up inside of it.
If this was a coffee, would it be a homebrew?
Yeah, I would say so. I don't know if you guys have one or not yet.
Keep up, Chris.
How does that work?
Doesn't. It's broken. It's cracked.
But how do you...
Someone
you
spilled home-brewed coffee on it.
It was a popular scene. Some other friends had a similar fate where their Wiis were cracked.
Oh, that's terrible to hear.
If this system had a pet, it would be an emu. Or emu.
Emu. Yeah.
Emu. And then I would see the emu later.
Yeah.
Who are we hiding from? Get Bonus Time, Laser Time's weekly full-length, uncensored, and ad-free Patreon-exclusive podcast, as well as weekly full-length movie commentaries, wrestling and cartoon video commentaries, physical rewards, the first season of Talking Simpson, and more at patreon.com/lasertime, starting at just $5. You'll help us live, and we'll do our best to help you never be bored again.
But that the whole B plot is only there for a couple of good jokes of Homer. He acts instead of getting the weight loss subliminal program, he gets the vocabulary one.
One thing though.
What's that?
Having been to grad school, I'm like, these words aren't complicated. These are on the GRE.
Yeah.
At the time they were very complicated.
And I doffed my cap.
Homer, has the weight loss tape reduced your appetite?
Well, lamentably no. My gastronomic rapacity knows no satiety.
Still, like, no, I've never encountered that.
Like, the ability to be satisfied.
Yeah, yeah, satiated. But, like
the gourmand becomes the voluptuary.
the gourmand metamorphosizes into the voluptuary.
It's all the Harvard words.
Yeah, I mean, these are Harvard writers showing off their Harvard education.
Yeah.
That's what it is, but... As a kid, those words were nothing to me, and now hearing them as an adult, I'm like, I know all those words. I know what Homer's saying. And it's weird that Marge doesn't.
Yes.
Like, that Marge should be kind of smart enough to
and
know.
And I like that it's Marvin Monroe on something like, hi, this is Marvin Monroe.
That is
here
great.
To increase your vocabulary.
I think that's the last good Marvin
Monroe. Abattoir.
I meant to get a clip of Marvin Monroe.
Yeah, that's relaxing New Age music, and then Marvin Monroe. Yeah. Marvin Monroe.
The cattle were slaughtered in the abattoir.
Beautiful. So,
Henry, I know you'll relate to this clip, though, that Milhouse invites Samantha over to the treehouse, and they want to read comics.
Hi.
Hey, what's with the skirt?
Well, I've brought friends to this treehouse before.
Yeah, but never a girl. What if I want to strut around nude?
Maybe I should go.
No, that's okay. You can stay. You can read comics with us. Let's see. Something for the ladies. Ah, Radioactive Man versus the Swamp Hag.
Got any girl comics like Bonnie Crane Girl Attorney, Punkin' and Duncan the Twinkle Twins, or Lil' Knee Socks?
No, but my sister's got a wide selection of crappy comics.
I love
Lonely Socks.
I think
Little Knee Socks. Okay, yeah, she
like
kind of slurred
little,
that.
Like a little Lulu parody, maybe.
I think so.
I
mean, yeah,
I want to see
if
you could see what they were parodying there. Mary Worth, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I would think Mary Worth, and then one of them's more like a... The Tinkle Twins are more like the Hardy Boy.
Yeah.
Or, no, the Nancy Drew.
The Boxcar Children.
Yeah, but
I loved girl comics. I loved Sabrina. I loved Archie. I thought it was so sexy.
I loved Archie in general, yeah. Girl comics have gotten better since then. But I do remember as a little boy and as then a growing boy, of just like, oh, comic books, you want to read them? Like, well, what are they? Oh, they're all just superhero fantasies. Like, you'll be bored.
But that's the thing. When Bart brings up the comic for a great transition, it's a romance comic, which is
like 1954.
That was
like
non-existent.
Doomed romance.
Yeah,
huh? I think it's called.
That was non-existent in 1992.
I mean, it was like it was the stuff Lichtenstein got for his
pop
art.
Like women biting their knuckles and like fretting
how
and sweating.
Could it get with him type things. Yeah, but. Comics for little girls have gotten a lot better now.
I think
but
so,
the,
yeah.
So when Bart's doing the baseball card trade thing, too, I was super into baseball cards at that time, or just stopped it. And though I didn't have any old cards that are worth anything. So real quick, Omar Vizquel, the one Bart trades for the Kyle Yastrzemski card.
More continuity.
Which was the one he bought. Yeah. Or
I guess he almost bought.
Well, I guess he got the money and then Milhouse later bought it.
$100.
3 minute of comic book throwback, people.
So Omar Vizquel is a Hall of Fame, had a Hall of Fame worthy career. 10 Golden Gloves, 3 MVPs.
Careful, it's sports talk. People are going to yell at us.
I know if I get one of these things wrong. And he is one of very few players to have played in four different decades.
Wow.
Not four decades, sure. But like end of the 80s up to the early 2010s.
Yeah. The same way Mickey Rooney had acted in 10 decades.
Exactly.
Just barely. Wow.
And then meanwhile, that 1958 Mickey Mantle card is a specific card. I looked it up. Like that pose of his face that they draw.
Wow.
That is a specific card that today is worth $500. You can get it $500 on eBay. So then it was probably around the same, I would bet, or a little less. But so that was a big time baseball card Bart was trading.
Did anybody lose like a friend as a kid? Did you ever lose your friend to a girl or someone of the a relationship of some kind?
I don't think we took girlfriends as seriously as Milhouse did when we were 10. It was sort of like, I guess this is what dating is.
It's been like 14 for me. Like,
okay.
Man.
Yeah, I guess it happened. It happened for me, though, like more like at 16 or whatever.
But I was the Bart character, not the Milhouse character.
No, I was always Bart, too. But I had a lot of dateless friends who, you know, I look back on it, probably had psychological problems and just couldn't get intimacy issues, but because their parents divorced at an early age.
Yeah, why not go for it? I'm 10.
No, I mean,
filled
like,
with beans.
At like 18, they had never had a girlfriend.
Oh.
So, and, but when they did get a girlfriend, then I was the guy of like, I thought we had fun hanging out. Now this new person is here, wants to play our tabletop role playing games.
I haven't had a girlfriend at 18. Oh, yes, it's the woman's fault.
Exactly. Look, hey, I'm on the outside looking in on this dating girls thing.
Yeah.
But I definitely did get the Bart feeling of like, hey, I thought we hung out all the time. Now you have a new friend who has sex with you? Come on.
Don't you usually play with Milhouse after school?
He has a girlfriend.
Milhouse?
Yeah, all they do is kiss.
How cute. They don't open their mouths, do they?
No.
How cute.
I really like that line.
It is really cute. Though something just feels off to me that, like, Milhouse even being slightly happy just isn't right for his
character. Or sexually appealing?
Yeah. Having any...
Straight, even?
He will later be known for just his sad pining over Lisa. Even into flash forwards, he's still just like going in love with her, even though she's like, yeah, we had sex once, Milhouse. Like, let's drop it. Or her in the car with him saying, like, I don't think I'll ever get married.
Milhouse doesn't count. Exactly, the joke Milhouse doesn't count. Mm-hmm. That's great.
Nobody likes Milhouse.
What are Big Sisters for?
One of my avatars a few years ago when I purchased the third season of The Simpsons on Amazon, which you can do digitally, and for no other seasons after that.
Oh,
yeah. 1 through 3, and then 21 on. That's everything else.
Is that with commentaries? With extras?
No. I just wanted it on my devices, and it just seemed like, I don't have my DVDs with me. $20, fine. But
that's fair.
Martin playing the lute.
Yeah.
This smug, stupid look on his face. That was my avatar for a couple weeks. But Bart has to go downgrade to another friend in the face of Samantha.
This is the first time anyone has ever sat next to me since I successfully lobbied to have the school day extended by 20 minutes.
Listen, Martin, right now I'm looking for a friend who won't leave me for a girl.
That's me. I'm just as unpopular with the ladies as I am with the chaps.
Yeah, right. Anyway, do you want to do something after school?
It's a date. Everyone, Bart and I would like to announce that we are friends.
God damn it.
Bart's really trading down.
What a downgrade.
But I was Martin. I was the kid sitting alone on the school bus.
Did you have a lute or a lyre?
No, I didn't have either of those things. But I definitely... I mean, they're kind of going with like, oh, Martin's gay also. Like, he's a gay kid who doesn't realize
it.
You
can sing My Body Lies Over the Ocean and not be gay, Hank.
No,
he's the queen of summer, Chris.
him singing the song...
What is the song?
The song with his lute is too, like... Come home, my Bonnie warrior. That is a song a woman sings to a man.
And Bart is running away at the window.
It was too. And him announcing that they're friends is just like,
we're friends.
Him celebrating a friendship with another boy is just like, yeah.
I can see them trying to say that. But so Bart is going to be a third wheel on their date to Space Mutants. And I noticed some Space Mutants continuity. Mm. So they're seeing Space Mutants 7, where I guess the Space Mutants can transform into humans.
Started with 4.
Yes, so 4 was in 4 was in Principal Charming and the Telltale Head. So there were 2 4s. Yeah. 4 in the Telltale Head was called The Trilogy Continues, which is a parody of Friday the 13th.
That's
and
a great
the one that Principal Skinner and Patty see is Down Under, where it's, it was probably just a wallaby. And then 6 was in Colonel Homer, which is the one that Lisa and Bart see. So we're at 7 now.
Yeah.
This has to be the end of the space meeting.
It could be the last one that we actually see footage of. I'm pretty sure it is.
The titles of those movies I could only catch, like Run, Reverend, Run.
Oh, I got them all here.
Oh, please, Bobby.
So Tumbleweeds Ahoy, Rip, Roar, and Reverend. Sing Monkey Sing, of course, Space Mutant 7, and Hot Grits A-Flyin'.
Hot Grits A-Flyin'. That's
the one I
want to see.
What that could possibly be.
Because that clearly wasn't made in the decade that the show aired in.
So yeah, I love the continuity of both Carl Yastrzemski and Space Mutants. They're bringing that into the series. Like they realize this is part 7 where they can transform, I guess, into humans.
That's so great. And then at that point it's revealed that, like, you know, Milhouse would rather hang out with Samantha. But in a total dick move, it was like, yeah, can we still use your treehouse to fuck in? Like, that's, yeah. I just watched the movie The Apartment, which is just all about Jack Lemmon having his apartment used as a fuck den by the upper brass of his company. Go ahead.
The last time we're going to see the Space Mutants is going to be Homer's Triple Bypass.
It's the last time.
According to the Wikia.
I wonder if it's part 8.
Oh, yeah. The Wikia.
I liked Homer looking memories, like, and they paid for a memory song.
That's such a great, because saying goodbye to his belly.
Yeah, him in a Shriner spray with his belly painted, wearing a
I've
giant
never
hat.
I've seen that in real life. Yeah,
I've only seen it on TV.
America's Funny Some Videos that fucking rocked every year.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, I had seen that. And then, though, also on the cassette, it says it's a vocabulary builder, so Homer really should have read the cassette.
It should have been a subliminal test to learn how to read.
We missed it, but when he finds out about the Good Morning Burger, the beer falls off his stomach and it hits the ground with like a sizzle, the carbonation on the carpet again. Great Foley.
Like the touch of, like, it goes back and Lisa's like worried about her dad. Wait, and she turns around and he's just breathing heavily in a way that only a fat dad can do.
That's right. We missed the flash forward to the funeral. Like, I wish they never invented fried cheese.
It's when I'm rewatching The Sopranos, and to, like, not forecast James Gandolfini's early death. Like, his breathing is some of the loudest things.
Sitting
in the show.
Is tiring for him. Like,
but he was perfect.
He's
so perfect
good.
For the role. Yeah, I just wish when Sopranos was over, like, okay, now lose 80 pounds.
Please, yes.
Maybe,
maybe don't die while eating in Italy.
Oh, I love James Gandolfini.
I also Bart's little tears over when he's like, fine, I don't need you guys. Like, that was actually kind of affecting. Mm-hmm. I like that. And they talk on the commentary. The commentary is a rare one with Nancy Cartwright on.
Oh yeah, it's good.
And the writers are like, oh, we were worried that Bart would seem like he was gay or that he was in love with Milhouse and jealous that a girl was there. And then Nancy was right. And Nancy was like, no, he's just a 10-year-old boy who doesn't get girls.
Yeah,
and
she's totally right.
Lost a friend. It's weird that they were worried about
Maybe
that.
Maybe that's why they built Martin in, like, no, this is the gay kid. Bart is the hetero. Martin's gay.
Flyover states. Do not call your Fox affiliate. but he concocts a plan to, like, call Sam's dad and have him show up at the treehouse, and I love this.
Hello, Mr. Stanky? I have some shocking news about your daughter, Samantha. Who am I? Let's just say I'm a concerned prude with a lot of time on his hands.
That's almost every watchdog.
Yeah, I think they're, like, kind of spitting in the faces of the people who complain about The Simpsons, too. Like, yeah, this is you. Mm-hmm. Like, you have nothing better to do.
I'm researching the stuff I hate!
And so then, when Mr. Stanky, for his one scene, like, it's a pretty funny little scene of an overprotective dad.
You're my little girl, and sometimes my imagination runs away with me. Just tell me what happened.
Well, Milhouse and I...
That's enough! I'm putting you in an all-girls school. You're never going to see that boy again.
Milhouse! Samantha!
I love Mr. Stanky going, no! And the crow's flying out of the tree. Yeah. It's great. It's a great shot.
Which isn't a reference to a specific thing.
No, it's I think it was like Brad Bird invented it.
Yeah. And now it's in every comic book movie. Oh. We just saw it in Suicide Squad.
Man,
like, another...
One of the reasons I wanted to do an Olympic show is to talk, and that's why I'm, again, plugging it, because I was just watching Animal Olympics, a really dumb, lost animated movie about the Olympics starring animals, and it's like one of Brad Bird's first gigs.
Oh,
and
you're right, yeah.
And sorry, I just wanted to plug that episode again, because I have a feeling no one's going to want to listen to our Olympics episode.
So,
so when Milhouse is so sad over losing Samantha... Yeah. It, I think, is the last Ralph is smart.
I was
scene.
Just going yeah. to say this, Henry. Huh? It's yeah. it's the last appearance of pithy Ralph, like with the very incisive thing to
yeah,
say.
I should have got
yeah.
that.
Yeah. yeah.
And,
oh, you know what?
But
no,
what man can tame her?
I think Bubblegum Walk very Wrigley. That's going to be in
oh,
Lisa Beauty Queen.
So we still have some remnants of kind of smart Ralph. But this line is, it's recess everywhere but his heart.
Yeah. yeah. I think once Ralph is the lead in the Choo Choo Choose Me, mm-hmm. that's when it's cool. Like,
he's
oh, yeah.
locked into being stupid.
Ralph is the dumb joke machine. Like, he's the non sequitur machine at that point.
Oh, I wanted to mention this because we keep talking about it, but there's a ton of thematic reference to 3 Men in a Comic Book, one of my favorite episodes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and up to and including the music when Milhouse and Bart fight, which I love.
The Elmer Bernstein kind of take off West Side Story stuff. It's
yeah,
great.
Yeah, and like this is a great scene.
Milhouse, Bart. I don't want you to see me cry.
Oh, come on.
This does not sound anything like Milhouse.
You're right.
It's
yeah.
a laugh, yeah.
So you would think it's a different voice actor entirely.
I don't want you to see me cry.
Oh, come on. I've seen you cry a million times. You cry when you scrape your knee. You cry when they're out of chocolate milk. Mm-hmm. You cry when you're doing long division and you have a remainder left over.
Well, I didn't want you to see me cry this time.
Listen, Milhouse. I got a confession to make. I'm the one who narked on your kissing.
What?!
Milhouse is out of bed and full of beans.
Whoa, it's a miracle.
Okay, is that the first spoken line? He would not be named until the Halloween episode
Kirk?
With the Krusty the Clown Freddy Krueger parody.
This is the very first appearance of Kirk Van Houten.
Really?
Never been seen before. Yeah. And that they talk about on the commentary that they didn't originally plan on Kirk looking exactly the same as Milhouse, which they'd already done with the mother, so they basically look like they're twins who married and had Milhouse.
And I think the story we told on one of the earlier episodes is that the Milhouse's mom, Luann, was supposed to have kind of Milhouse's voice. Like, that's too cartoony, but then Hank just did an impression of Pamela Hayden doing Milhouse, and that's Milhouse's dad's voice.
Yeah, Hank Azaria said that somewhere. Is like, it's just an impression of Milhouse.
It's a lot like Principal McVicker from Beavis and Butthead. Like,
it's a little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's just for one line, but it's great. Yes. And
we have like an entire Kirk episode coming up.
Oh, it's so good.
I love that character.
It's a door!
Dignity! And that they just see him fighting, like, yeah, who cares?
Like, they shut the door, snappy, filled with very
beans?
Preciously.
We're just going to let that slide?
Full of beans.
Full of beans.
It's a saying.
I've never heard it.
My mom had to explain it to me, too, as a kid. I never heard that saying before. Like, yeah, it is a colloquialism.
You see, Henry, beans are what we call ecstasy.
There's a very great UCB sketch where it's called Scientonomy, I think.
Psychotonomy.
Psychotonomy, and the L. Ron Hubbard figure sues everybody because someone says, you're full of beans. It's like, I'm full of beans.
Beans! You are all sued! All of you are sued! Psychotonomy is not full of beans!
One of my favorite sketches, please look up Psychotonomy.
Fecal
it's the
Jesus,
best.
That whole episode.
Yeah.
You're 7'1". Like,
vomits of food.
Nutrition food.
Yeah. Oh my god, just reading from L. Ron
aliens.
Hubbard.
Yes.
R. Ron Lubbard's book, like, I have to get my nutrition. Johnny thought with his mind brain, I must get more nutrition food.
Yes, reading that was the torture they put people through to break them down.
So fucking good.
I'm sweating.
Did you notice that in Milhouse's room he has a Spinal Tap poster?
Yes, more continuity.
I did
more
not.
Season 3 continuity.
And it was a cute little joke of Bart reaching for every hard thing that would kill Milhouse and then just grabbing the 8-ball.
I bet the 8-ball didn't see that one coming. Was
a good
line.
See that one coming.
It's pretty dope. And I mean, it has a nice cheesy end. I don't get the French Canadian stuff totally.
I do.
Oh, well, let's hear the clip.
Hey, Samantha. I'm sorry about getting you thrown in the Penguin House.
That's all right, Bart. I love St. Sebastian's. It's run by a group of French-Canadian nuns. They're very nice, except they never let me out.
Samantha, n'est pas de boys.
I have to go now, Milhouse. Better not. It's 50 rosaries a kiss.
Okay.
What the heck?
It's St. Sebastian's School for Wicked, Girls.
Yes. Yes. And
I didn't get the joke about Canadian accents as a kid either. Like, yeah. Never let me oot.
Is there some other significance to that?
I want to step in and say something. They get this right, and people like Kevin Smith base entire movies around jokes like these, but they get it wrong. So it's not oot or a boot. It's oat, and she says oats. And it's, right, it's not it's oot. Not a boot. It's a boat.
A boat.
But
a boat.
You'll see entire movies like Yoga Hosers where the entire joke is like, we screwed up the Canadian accent. Whoops. I mean, if that's your entire thing, get it right, please. The
fucking
Simpsons did.
Kevin Smith, man.
Tusk is fun.
What if my daughter was a star of a movie? It would go something like this.
I'm a bit tired of that. But then again, the episode he directed of the Flash TV series last season was pretty good.
Really?
He should only do that.
And he'll be directing.
So you don't have to see it?
Yes.
He'll be directing another one next year and an episode of Supergirl. So, you know, let him earn his bones that way. So the Singing Nun is a reference to, in the 60s, there was a real-life Singing Nun who had become somewhat of a celebrity in the first half of the 1900s. Mm-hmm. And she then went on to get a film made about her, though she, I believe it was a Belgian nun, not a French-Canadian one, who was the Singing Nun, who goes on adventures with kids, and it's a kid's film, and the Singing Nun is played by Debbie Reynolds.
What?
And yep, so...
And I think there's a bit of the Flying Nun in here as well, where it was originally like, she's going to go to a Catholic school, and all the nuns are mean, but James L. Brooks is like, what if it was fun, like the Flying Nun? And we see the Flying Nun get destroyed next year Bart. Brother from Another Planet, I think.
Yeah, Brother from Another Planet. Oh, I love that episode. This isn't funny! that also is when they're getting very mean on the show.
Exactly, yes. Killing the Flying Nun.
And I did like the wrap-up to the Homer bit that, like, one, that Lisa's the only one who can understand him because she knows all those words, too.
Yeah, that Bart needed advice but can't understand Homer for once.
What the hell he's saying?
And then Homer is getting fatter just because he's still eating the same, but he just says it better. And then, once he gets rid of the tape, then he becomes basically nonverbal and still eats all the time. Mikey,
he gets stupider. He can't think of the word for spoon. Like, what's the dig thingy where you, and then he like mimes it. You mean a spoon?
And the Homer Says bit at the end is funny. I like that.
That was awesome. I love that.
But it disappears so fast. Yeah. Like, I don't think they had faith in the joke to keep it up for an extra 5 seconds.
It's funny in that it's like Homer's definitions of these fancy words like boudoir, where a French guy does it, things like that.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah. It's a precursor to the Ned Flanders short that we'll get later.
And I do like Bart's line, now let's go whip donuts at old people. Yeah.
They all look the same to me. Now let's go whip donuts at old people. It was a good, loose episode.
Yeah, we're feeling those late season blues in terms of like, let's just get to the end. It doesn't have to make perfect sense as long as it's punchy and funny.
I mean, the next episode is just like loose as all hell with an ending that basically requires magic.
Yes. and an invention that requires magic. We'll get to that
soon.
That's
what I mean. Yes. Yeah, yeah.
So that was Talking Simpsons, folks. I've been your host, Bob Mack. You can find me on Twitter as Bob Servo. My writing is at somethingawful.com and usgamer.net. And I also do the classic gaming podcast, Retronauts, every Monday. Find it on usgamer.net or retronauts.com, or search for Retronauts in your podcast machine. Every week is a new classic gaming topic. All these folks have been on it, and you'll like it a lot, I think, if you like to hear my voice. And I assume you do. Chris, where can we find you?
Usually lasertimepodcast.com. That's where the Laser Time show lives. It's a lot of the same people are on that show. We usually pick a topic, we do a little bit of research, and infuse it with the same sound clips and chicanery that you might like in this show. But I also would really like to plug 302010.
Yeah.
You can check that out on lasertimepodcast.com or wondery.com/302010. A weekly look back into that window of the week. 30 years ago, 20 years ago, and 10 years ago to that specific week. And it creates a very interesting conversation when you have to shift from like, all right, now we talk about The Fly, now we talk about the Tales from the Crypt movie, and then why don't we wrap up with some snakes on a plane.
Dennis Miller's only leading
Bordello
role,
and Blood, baby.
Yeah, it's a great... If you like the nostalgia of this, you'll like the nostalgia of that. And
Hopefully, like when you piece everything together like that, you can sometimes place where you were.
Yeah.
Exactly where you were.
That's for sure.
Just
especially
the 10 news.
Years ago. Yeah. Really easy. But, you know, I'm H-E-N-E-R-E-Y-G on Twitter. And this pod... Oh, and you can find me me, my writing at fandom.wikia.com. That's my day job, and you should see all that stuff. I tweet it out, too. But if you really enjoy this, you should know it was brought to you, Talking Simpsons, by patreon.com/lasertime. $5 a month or more will get you access to the first season of Talking Simpsons, along with a ton of other great bonuses, including Bonus Time, the extra weekly podcast that you all do. And it is what pays for this to happen.
And you were on recently, and I got to tell a tale of local murder.
Murder.
And I got to talk all about going to Las Vegas for five whole days. Mm-hmm. It was a fun time.
Immersed in Star Trek.
Yeah, but so go patreon.com/lasertime. If you become a $5 or more subscriber, you will get access to that season. Just go back through the most recent posts until you see Black Smithers. That's where you'll find all the episodes.
14 delicious episodes for your listening pleasure. That's been all for us this week, folks. We'll be back next week with the end of Season 3 and the return of Herb Powell. See you then.
Wow. Infotainment.
Whether you're looking to build a website for your business, your hobby, your podcast, or just for fun, Pear Networks is your go-to web hosting partner. Not only do we have the lowest domain price in the industry, starting at just $11, we've got hundreds of stunning website templates to help you stand out from the crowd. You're not a techie? Not a problem. With our easy DIY site builders, you can launch your impressive website without any technical know-how. And when it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. Check out pear.com today to learn more. PAIR.com.
Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller. Find your next obsession. Or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.